Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Raycon. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest in Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/ghost. It's buyraycon.com/ghost for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/ghost. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what would you do if a deceased loved one came back to let you know they were okay? Would it bring comfort or fear?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. My microphone literally just fell down right as I was about to talk. It was like, boop, like that's fun. Or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio files to us. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, support the program. Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. An EPP, as we call it. At ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to support the program and keep us on the air. We would greatly appreciate that. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
How are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am. I'm doing well.
Good.
Got to turn my microphone volume up there. I feel like there's like an echo or something, but
my mic sounds a little off.
Your mic sounds off.
It sounds off in my headset.
I don't know why.
Okay. Well, if it sounds good to you, that's all that matters.
Sounds normal to me.
Okay. Because you're the ears of the show.
Harper. Well, you and Harper share that microphone now.
So who knows?
Well, she shouldn't have touched anything with it. I mean, she likes to spit on it a little bit and she licks it sometimes.
It's that's
stop
great.
Doing that. And then she blows her nose into the foam on it. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. No, she's really good about it. I can't get a third one in here. I was going to say I should just get a third mic, but
we don't need a third mic. Okay. She and I can share. It just sounded a little different to me today, but it's fine.
Her mic is in her studio upstairs where she's slowly brewing the idea for a podcast other than just co-hosting this one.
I know.
So someday she'll come out of that kitchen with, hey, guess what? I'm doing a show about this. Okay, have fun. So
might as well.
It's probably not really that far off. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Let's go to a letter as soon as I get prepared and blow this up to a readable size, like making it into the size of a teleprompter. That's my read on the show. I don't do small letters. I couldn't read well when I was in school, like when you had to do the around the world reading shit.
You mean going around the classroom and everybody takes a turn? I always got nervous and I would stutter.
Yeah.
And I don't stutter. I usually don't stutter. When I'm nervous, I do. But it was like I had a full-blown stutter when it was time to read.
I did too. It was great, and I hated it. And I couldn't, like, I could read just fine by myself. I could read just fine, pretty much by myself. When I was on the air, I had a hard time reading, too. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing to me that I can do this fucking show. Because just the concept, if someone had told me 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you're going to do a show, and about 25 minutes a day, it's just straight reading copy. And you have to read it with emotion and inflection. And, you know, I have days that I'm not great, but everybody has days they're not great. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it works.
Yeah.
But I would have said, there's no way in hell. There used to be I would do Sunday news on my first radio station. Now, keep in mind, I'm 15, 16 years old. And our news director, we had one news guy, and he was our news director, and he was just, he was a saint. He loved his job, and it's all he did. We had no help. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this guy is getting news to the radio station. But Sunday morning, he took off, believe it or not. So I would come in and do the news on Sunday morning. He would have it prepared for me.
Uh-huh.
He'd have the copy. The only thing I'd have to do is, like, grab, like, if there was something that broke overnight. And then not even that, I usually didn't have to write. I would just take it and read it off the AP. And oh my God. So we had deadlines at like the top of every hour. It was top and bottom, I think. I think we aired them at like top and bottom of the hour. And so I had 30 minutes between each one. I didn't do them live. I could have if I wanted to. But my choice was either record it and then drop it into the system so it airs a few minutes before it's supposed to be ready. Oh my God, there were so many times I'd come up to that deadline and I still can get that fucking minute and a half newscast out of my mouth without sounding like I was, you know, choking on Skittles or something. I would stutter my way through. Then there were so many times I got to the, like, I got to do it live. I got to go live.
Uh-huh.
It's like I had to go live, so I did it live.
You do better under pressure. So it probably was a better read.
I don't know. Maybe. The thing is, it was on dot matrix printer.
Oh.
Print type, which is very small.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my biggest problem is with reading out aloud is too small of type. Because when I still read in too small of type, it's hard to get it through. I think my mind, like my eyes wander to different words quickly. Mm-hmm. When I'm doing a teleprompter, I can roll through it like I'm professional. When, I guess I am now.
When I read, I have to have the bookmark or a straight edge under each line and I slide it as I go. I have to do that or my eyes jump around. And I've always been that way.
So that was your solution.
Mm-hmm.
We have the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
That was your solution. My solution was blowing it up.
My second grade teacher taught me that. And it's been what I've done for the last 35 years.
We learned so many new Aspie skills that we have and ways of coping with them on this show. So we've talked about this on the air before, if you're just joining us now. But you can follow Jenny's adventures in farming on our adventures in farming.
Yeah, you're really on there too. Yeah.
Aspie Acres, at Aspie Acres.
Yes.
On Instagram. Continuing on to our ghost show. Hi, Tony and crew. I'm an EPP member. I love all your shows. I was a junior in high school when this happened. My brother and I were talking in the living room of our parents' house, and the plant my mother had in the living room had a few leaves on the floor around the pot. While we were talking, I looked over just in time to see a leaf lift off the floor and fall in the same place it was originally. I went over and the window was not open and the heat was not on. I cannot explain this. 2 weeks later, I was taking a nap and I was in between awake and asleep when I heard my name and I felt someone touch my shoulder. The voice sounded like my grandfather who passed away 5 years earlier. I woke up to find the door still closed. I left my room to see if anyone was home and my parents were in the living room. I asked if they tried to wake me up and they said no. Some years later, I was talking to a paranormal friend of mine and I told her what had happened and she thinks it was my grandfather saying goodbye to me. Last year, I found out I'm an empath and have been visited by my deceased relatives several times, mostly during the stress and right before I fly home to visit my family. And I see it as if they're letting me know that they're watching out for everyone. I prefer them to visit me this way. I'd be terrified if they showed themselves while I was awake. This past March, my father-in-law died, and the 4 days after his death, he was in my dreams, letting me know he was no longer in pain. I've yet to tell my husband this, seeing as he is a huge skeptic. Since finding out I'm an empath, my family and I visited a botanical garden in the area. Everything was going good until we got to one part, and I felt my chest get heavy and had a feeling of need to get out of this spot. One of my daughters was looking at me with concern, and my husband was looking at me like, "What the F is wrong with you?" As soon as we left the area, I felt fine. I still have no idea what it was, and I tried to look it up and found nothing on it with a Google search. I love ghost stories, and some of the ones I've heard on this podcast make my skin crawl. I only listen to it during the day, or else I'll be up all night. Thank you so much for what you do. Melissa from Virginia.
We only record these during the day with me. Otherwise, I'll be up all night as well.
Yeah.
But with the botanical garden, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people have such a love for going to places like that. And it's like their happy place.
Sure.
It might not be that something happened there, but maybe somebody comes back and that's where they choose to be in their afterlife is in the botanical garden.
I like that idea.
You know, and maybe that's what you were feeling was just the feeling of somebody's there. And I know that feeling that I can't breathe, that kind of heavy chest feeling. And, mm-hmm. you know, it scares you. It kind of makes you feel like, oh, gosh, am I having a heart attack? Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's that's how I kind of sense that something is there.
Okay.
But it's interesting. She and I feel that. And I, you know, I get that the whole stress thing brings it on stronger. And I've almost wondered if that's why they talk about ghost stories more around Christmas in England is because of the stress of Christmas, you know, which Christmas is a wonderful time, but it's a very stressful time. And it brings out, it might bring out more spirits, or maybe make more empaths see more spirits.
See more spirits, or does talking about it, is it just a comforting thing to some people?
That's good. It could be that too.
I'm going to lean towards comforting thing, as scary of, as a topic as it is. When we look at the historical model of people talking about ghost stories around Christmas time, in most parts of the world, mm-hmm. America is the oddball here.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that unless you'd know it. Most parts of the world, ghost stories and all that are a very big part of the holidays. It's only in the U.S. that they're not so big. But is it more of a, you know, it's a turning of the page. It's the new year. It's, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, coming to terms with or realizing your own mortality or realizing the mortality of those that you love. When this year, such and such from the family's not coming because they're dead, you know, and it's a moment where you're kind of coming to grips with a lot of things, mm-hmm. and you're coming to grips with, oh, they're gone. You know, and you know, family members, especially when you're young and they die, it's like, you don't think of that. I mean, the first time family, like a close family member dies, it's like a big deal. It's like, holy shit. I didn't, you know, you knew it was possible. You knew this would happen someday, but you never, you know, it's like, I never thought this would happen, but it happened.
Yeah.
You know, is Christmas around that time and then hearing ghost stories kind of a comforting thing, almost like a, I don't know, passive aggressive is not the right word, but, you know, it's a cathartic passive thing where you're hearing stories of, oh, these people died and they're on the other side and it's a ghost story. So there's a level of comfort there, not only in the grieving process of the one who has died, but also coming to grips with your own mortality. It's another year. It's another number you're on. And the older we get, the more we're like, holy shit. When I think about 2020 or 2021, I'm like, as a kid, I was like, I'm thinking, well, I'll be older then, you know?
Sure.
But, you know, kind of just coming to more peace with that.
You know, and I don't know the historical, you know, background on telling ghost stories at Christmas time. I don't know that I would feel more comfort talking about ghosts at Christmas. I mean, it's one thing to think about your loved ones that are no longer with you that year, or to think about your own mortality, which nobody likes to think about their own mortality. But I think talking about ghost stories at Christmas, I almost feel like that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Okay. My thing I'm talking about that I thought was interesting was obviously COVID was nothing like Christmas, but the time of people kind of staying at home,
mm-hmm.
coming together, thinking about their own mortality, thinking about the mortality of their loved ones, it has increased people listening to ghost stories.
Yeah.
As I mean, it could be because you have more time on your hands, too, because people weren't, you know, going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you could listen to anything, too. You could listen to any topic. You could pick anything out there.
I see what you're saying. They're wanting some sort of confirmation that maybe their loved one is okay.
I'm wondering if the COVID crisis has increased people interested in this topic in the same way that New Year's or a birthday or something like that naturally does at the same time, the same way. It just, it came in a different wave. It's a rogue wave of interest in,
yeah,
you know, kind of dark shit.
I could see it being, you know, I could see it being more for COVID than for Christmas, you know?
Yeah. I think it triggers those same parts in our mind,
mm-hmm.
in certain ways, not all around, but just that thought.
Sure.
Where, you know, you think of Christmas, you know, like, and New Year's, you're like, oh, my own mortality, but your mind does a bit. There's something there. There's something that's, you know, maybe not singing that out loud at the parties, you know, you're going to at the holidays, but it's there.
I I don't know. I'm so busy at Christmas trying to just get toys ordered and shit wrapped.
You're not contemplating life and death.
I'm not. I will say I'm contemplating maybe the death of others that are driving me insane, but not my own.
Okay.
At that point.
Well, there you go.
So we'll leave it at that.
Okay. Back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Raycon wireless earbuds. I love these things. Oh my gosh. I have tried different ones over the years, but I have never had one that I ever just like, oh my gosh. Honestly, what I've had in the past, I've got lost in drawers and stuff because it's like, they're okay. But these Raycon ones, they're wonderful. They are the best I've ever tried. And I'm not just saying that either. Number one, you get them and then you can find the right piece of rubber that goes on the end of it that fits it into your ear just perfectly. So it's the right fit for you. That's what I did first and foremost. And I found one. It was just like, boom, this just, it fits in there perfectly. It's not going to fall out. It's noise canceling. It's just, I've never had one fit me that well. Whether you're working from home, doing your workout, walking, all that stuff, you need something good. You need some quality earbuds. And the ones from Raycon, top of the line, but not top of the price chain, if you will. You already know Raycon earbuds started about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And they sound just as amazing as the others. Their newest model, the E25, that's what I have. It's their best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, more compact design, gives you that nice noise isolating fit. I can't say enough good things about them. Jen was blown away. She has a pair too. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable. Perfect for conference calls or binge podcasting. Unlike some of the other wireless options out there, Raycon earbuds, they're stylish, they're discreet, no dangling wires or stems to distract during audio or video calls. They're great. You've heard me talk about this before, but they were co-founded by Ray J and other celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Cardi B, Melissa Etheridge, Brandy. Folks who know what something should sound like and what good earbuds sound like. It's an awesome product. Right now, check this out. Now's the time to get your latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/ghost. It's buyraycon.com/ghost for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/ghost. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us.
How's your homegrown chamomile tea?
Are you having any?
I am still working on my morning coffee.
Liar. You said during the show, I'll try your homegrown chamomile tea.
And you know what?
And here you sit without it.
In between episodes, yeah. I'm going to go get some of your chamomile tea, which looks like a urine sample because it's very, very pale.
Yeah, it is.
It doesn't look like tea. It just looks like a urine sample of a very healthy person that's not dehydrated. So
how do you know it's not that? And that's what I'm drinking during COVID. Just to say, stay super hydrated. 855-853-4802 is our number. Next letter, it says, hello. So in 2014, my father was at home awaiting his death. This was on a Saturday. My parents' home is quite spacious, and the entry of the home is like a small living room that could be used as an office space. Then we have the official living room. We had set up the entry room so my father could spend the rest of his days there and have better access. I was with him in the room with someone else, and other people were in the entryway in the main living room. There's a fireplace next to the main living room, and out of nowhere, a cry of a newborn baby was heard. To this day, we have no idea what it means. I did not hear the cry because I was next to him on the other room, but we had people at the house, maybe 15 to 20, who heard the cry. My father died the next day. I sometimes want to relate that cry somehow to my pregnancy because I had just found out I was pregnant 2 days before his death. It was an unexpected pregnancy. Never told my father or anyone until after he passed. Before he passed, my mother went to his side. We're a very religious family. My mother told my father that the angels would come down for him and not to be afraid and to go with them after my mother told him those words. And invoking the angel, my father looked up towards the corner of the room and passed away. A couple of months down the road, around August or September, I was about 6 months pregnant. I remember being fast asleep with my daughter, who was not even one yet. I was home because my pregnancies are always high risk. It was in the morning, and I remember my brain beginning to wake up, but my eyes were closed. What woke me up was a voice. Clearly heard a man's voice in my room telling me, "Look, She's there. She's starting to wake up, but it was in Spanish. When I heard that voice and what he said ran through my head, I was like, shit, someone's in the room with me. Someone is watching me. At first, I was scared of the voice. It sounded familiar, but when I realized I was alone, my husband was long gone to work. I thought someone came into my house because my husband would always forget to lock the door when he would leave to work early in the morning. I was getting up as quickly as I could and walked around my house to make sure no one was there. And there was no one. Later, I realized he was my father and possibly my uncle who had died a couple of months before my father, who was his brother. I'm 100% sure it was him. I could just feel the positive vibe. I think he wanted maybe me to see him one more time. Maybe, I don't know. It was my uncle's voice telling my father I was there and okay, I think. And I know this happened because I was awake. Then like a month later, I had a weird dream. It was just my dad's face saying everything was going to be okay. During this whole time, I had never mentioned my dad or called on him, like asking him for help or any guidance. We were having complications in my pregnancy, and doctors thought she might have had a heart problem. And while we were waiting for the appointment date is when I had that dream out of the blue, and he said, it's all going to be okay. I knew what it meant once I woke up, and that had been pretty much the only time I had a supernatural experience with my dad. I honestly believe in ghosts and spirits because I experienced it myself in my own world.
The random newborn cry, I almost wonder if that was like somehow the universe was trying to tell your dad there's another baby, mm-hmm. you know, before he dies, even though he would never find that out, you know.
Like the universe uses the talking farm animal noise thing or animal noise thing, you know, you used to spin it. You pull the lever or the string and then it goes, the cow says, murr.
I played with that toy so much when I was little bitty.
The baby says, murr, murr. The old ones were great because they actually ran on a record type system or mm-hmm. a reel, and you could fuck with them and you could like slow. You could like, if you took the pointer, you could move it back and forth and it could be like the pig says, and like a record scratch. You could totally DJ out those things. Now they're all like just on a microchip, and it's, you stop it, it just doesn't do shit.
Would you ever include that in a song as a DJ?
Well, I was never like a club DJ.
No.
But if I did that sort of club DJ shit, sure. I mean, my live DJing shit was simply play, you know, pressing play on the CD and then letting it play out. I didn't do like mixing down and all that sort of stuff.
You weren't like Marshmallow or whoever the top DJ is now.
I was into the software when it was brand new. Mm-hmm. Like there was new shit that was coming out around 2000. Like that's when you could really start to use computers for stuff. I mean, just the concept of playing MP3s was pretty amazing. But yeah, I did play with some different beat software and stuff back then because I wanted to try and get into it, but I have no musical ability. And I think you need to kind of have some sort of background there on like how some of that shit works mm-hmm. to do it. And I was just kind of shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
I did buy a keyboard just to make noises and play over music too, just for fun. That's in our garage still. Here's a question I have about the everything's going to be all right. This is something that kind of plays in line with the ghosts are people too theme that we've seen to been running on this year, at least I have in my mind on the Grave Talks. In life, if you're having a difficult pregnancy, you would hope the loved one that's with you would be reassuring you, even if they don't know for sure everything's going to be all right. They're going to tell you everything's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a reassurance thing. It's not a I predict the future thing. It's a let's stay calm. The more calm you can be through things, usually the better you can get through.
Sure.
Is he saying everything's going to be all right from the dad perspective of a living dad? Everything's going to be all right. I'm just saying this because I don't know what the fuck else to say. And this is probably the best thing that can be said right now. Or is he saying it from the I'm a ghost with supernatural powers and I can see into the future dad?
The second, the really? Latter. And I firmly believe that because I had that same experience.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So I believe that they somehow are privy to that knowledge that, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know how far in the future they can see, but far enough that they can come and tell you that it's going to be okay.
Now you have to share your experience.
Well, I've shared it, I think, a few times.
We have new listeners all the time. Just okay. give us the Cliff Notes version.
I'm sorry, guys, if you've heard this.
I share the same shit all the time. They're okay.
When I was in high school, my dad, he had to go into the hospital from an injury. Mm-hmm. It was actually, I'll just say, it was a self-inflicted injury. Mm-hmm. And due to some actual anatomical anomalies, his injuries were much worse than they would have been. Mm-hmm. So they had to go in and do exploratory surgery to see what all was damaged based on what they found when they were trying to fix his original injury. Mm-hmm. So they had to completely open him up and everything. And he was in the ICU and he was not doing well. We almost lost him a couple of times. And I one night had my great grandmother, which was his dad's mom. She came to me in my sleep. And I remember her stroking my hair, and she was always the kindest, best person. I'll say she was the best person in at least that half of the family on my dad's side. Mm-hmm. And it was very, you know, it was very sad when she was gone. But she came back and she told me he was going to be okay, that he was going to make it. And so, and you know, I still don't remember my dreams on a regular basis, mm-hmm. but I still remember my grandma Eunice coming to me and telling me that, and it was a miracle that he made it. It was mm-hmm. it was a medical miracle because of the way things were. We found mm-hmm. out so much was wrong internally. He yeah. has a lung that had, you know, never formed properly. It was shrunken up to like a quarter of the size of what a lung should be. Mm-hmm. So other organs had kind of filled in different places where they weren't supposed to have been.
Yeah,
It was unbelievable just in the fact that, for one, that he survived his attempt, but also he survived because his stuff was in the wrong place.
That he just lived in general. Yeah.
Well, I say and he, you know, if he listens, he's probably mad at me right now, but I joke that God played a trick on him because mm-hmm. he's like, nope, sorry. You think your heart's there.
Moved it here.
It's not. It's on the other side, you yeah. know, and had he not had his organs literally in the wrong place, he wouldn't be with us.
Wow. It's almost like that. Did you ever play with the invisible man? Or I think I've asked you this. I had one of these. There was the invisible man and the invisible woman, and all of their organs and shit were in there. And you could like place it was like a learning toy. And then you put all like the organs in the body. And then you put the bones, right? Like the ribs over and everything. Mm-hmm. And I suppose, I mean, as a kid, it all is supposed to fit in there nicely. They're plastic pieces. They're not like meldable.
Yeah.
But you could like, if like, oh shit, the bell's going to ring. I got to get this wrapped up. You could just kind of jam the organs in random places and walk away. And then the next kid gets them. That's almost kind of like what he had going. I mean, the body had moved them where they needed to be.
He had a hole in his diaphragm. You know, yeah. that raises and lowers your lungs.
Yeah.
And with his lungs shrunken up, when I'll just come out and say, I've never shared this, but he shot himself. Mm-hmm. He tried to take his life when I was a senior in high school. And when they were trying to fix the bullet wound, mm-hmm. he tried to shoot himself in the heart. They literally, and I'm not joking, they literally found intestine when they opened up that bullet wound.
Up by where you'd expect the heart to be.
Yes. Yeah. And they were just like,
what the fuck?
Exactly. So that's when they realized they had to completely open him up.
Yeah.
I mean, sternum to belly button and figure out what's going on. And that way they were able to see. But we were able to figure out a lot of things that had been wrong for a long time that mm-hmm. had caused a lot of his issues and probably led to a lot of his mental health issues as far as not feeling healthy ever.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, I don't like to talk about that very often, mm-hmm. but I feel like, you know, after what, 7, almost 8 years that I can share that, but mm-hmm. I just hope he's not mad at me that I shared that.
It's an interesting story. I mean, it's one of those things where you think, I was unaware that your body could shift shit around so much. I mean, I'm not talking poop. I'm talking like organs. And
sure.
I mean, I realize like to a certain extent it's doable. Mm-hmm. But to the extent that I learned about when you told me that story years ago off the air, it was like, oh my God, like an intestine up that, like, so that means like everything has to go through that.
It had,
it's like,
wound,
to move up and around.
It had wound through that hole, yeah, in his diaphragm and made it up into, yeah, his chest cavity. And he had always had digestive issues, but we could never, yeah, figure out what was going on.
There you go.
So enough about that. Yeah. Sorry if that, sure, was TMI, you guys.
My, what was it? My,
your appendix was on the wrong side.
Yeah, that was exciting.
They really almost sent you home and you could have died at home because they thought, well, it's the wrong side. The wackadoo nurse at the walk-in said, yeah, well, it's not your appendix. It's on the wrong side. And my knowledge of, hey, shit can be where it's not supposed to be. Yeah. I'm glad we went, took you to the ER because it had ruptured.
Yeah. And it was on the wrong side.
Yeah.
So that actually worked out to my advantage there.
And there were so many doctors and like young doctors coming in like, oh my God, this is so cool. Your appendix is on the wrong side. We never see that. That's like literally one in a million. I'm just like, I'm like,
oh God. They're not telling you what they're doing either.
They geeked out about it because you were an anomaly.
I had to like say, what the fuck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't necessarily, like, they all like kind of gather their information and then they share.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing when, like, suddenly you have, like, a team of doctors in a room that are not your doctor, and they're all looking at, like, your chart and your information and your pictures going, oh, my God, oh, my God. And you're, like, nearby, and you're able to hear that, and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want, and it's just like, oh, surprise, it's just on the wrong side, that's all. Like, it's not, like, cancer or something. No, it's just on the wrong side. Okay, great, let's fix this.
I honestly thought you were going to have a heart attack before they figured, yeah, out what was wrong with you.
Yeah.
Because you were freaking out.
I really felt okay.
Yeah, you may have felt okay, but your blood pressure, yeah, and your machine you were hooked, yeah, to, they came in with, and they were like, EKG time.
Didn't so. I do like a YouTube live?
Not during that. Okay. No.
Like, let's break out the show.
But you did do an EPP episode from your hotel room or your hospital room.
So. I did, didn't I?
You did.
That's, yeah. I have my priorities and I do not let them falter. Even if I'm in the hospital, you'll get an APP episode. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's try and go to a caller here as soon as I can get this. I thought the thing was open, and then I can open this and I can play a phone call. Friendly folks at Adobe make products that take a long time to open up. And there we go. Okay, let's go to this caller. Hi. Let's hear a ghost story.
Hello, my name is Sabrin Chandler, and I have a story that's a little bit difficult for me to talk about. The house that I grew up in from the age of 6 to 13 was haunted by a demon. And I believe that that demon attached itself to me because even now, as I'm 23 years old, I'll have nightmares of this thing. And it will always come in some horrifying shape. I've had just dreams that make me wake up drenched in sweat about it. I still live there. However, we got the house exorcised. And if this is to tell you how bad it was, I was scratched 3 times on my back and it felt like I was on fire when they were exercising the building. That's what leads me to believe that this thing was attached to me. We had not only one, but 3, I guess, spirits in the house. My brother, sister, and mother and I, all 4 saw them, but my father, he just loved the house. He never wanted to leave it. He thought it was completely normal, and for years, he just was irrationally angry sometimes, and I don't feel like that ever stopped until the exorcism. But yeah, things still happen there on occasion, but it's nowhere near like, honestly, I'm a little afraid of it resurging because that tends to happen sometimes, I guess. Like on that story of the Bothell Hell House, there was a year where it was quiet, and then all of a sudden it came back with a vengeance, and I am just terrified of that. Yeah, I've seen it several times. I've seen all three of them, actually. I believe that there is one demon and two are spirits, and I have actually, I found the names in a town register of the three people that lived there. And what really sold it for me was I used to call the little girl, the one that was attached to me, I used to call her Gracie. And I looked in that town register, and the name Grace was outlined and said Gracie next to it. And it was a family of three. It was a man, a woman, and a child, and it was in the 1800s. So that, I really believe that that house is haunted by spirits. I don't know if there's a demon there, but I feel like there is. And if you want to give me a call back, I don't...
And we won't leave the phone number, but yeah. Thoughts?
It, you know, I don't want to say without having, you know, known more about the story that there's no demon there, but to me it sounds like there's still a family of spirits there, but maybe, you know, maybe the one attached to the dad is just not a nice person, and so he's not a nice ghost, so he seems more demonic. It doesn't sound to me like a lot of the things, I mean, she didn't describe a lot of the activities that are going on as demonic. She just, it's not uncommon for ghosts to attach to people, but I don't think from what she said that it's truly demonic.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's easy to jump to that, especially if your reference point is network television or cable television. I would say most times when you have something dark going on, you know, people can be horrible human beings in life. And if they're able to be ghosts and they're able to take over people or become an attachment, that's not necessarily something demonic. That's an asshole that's using their newfound power in new and exciting ways. Good, no. Bad, yes. Demonic, probably not. I mean, you could argue, well, if it's they're doing bad and evil things, isn't that kind of the root of a lot of it? Well, yeah, but... When I say demonic, I'm thinking full-fledged. This is something that never walked the earth that you're dealing with.
But now, I think we should talk about the difference between an attachment and a possession.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I feel like maybe there's more of an attachment going on, and like each of the, you know, respective deceased people that used to live in that house are attached mm-hmm. to their, you know, I guess their like person. So mm-hmm. the dad to the dad, the mom to mom, and then Gracie to her. And an attachment, you know, means, yeah, they're with you, they're haunting you, but they are not progressively taking you over and, you know, making you do... Really? You don't agree?
With attachments, that can happen.
Attachments, that can happen, but attachments can also just stay attachments.
Yeah, it can just be around. But it can almost do what feels like possession. Mm-hmm. But I think what the area that we walk into when we say possession, we immediately think demonic. We immediately think something evil, something where I think a possession can happen by, you know, Uncle Larry.
Well, my usage of the term possession mm-hmm. means... demonic possession,
okay.
Turning you into, you're gonna be, yeah. you know, like on the
pea soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's maybe my terminology is incorrect, but that was where I was trying to make a difference or differentiate between the two mm-hmm. to where I feel like sometimes they can just, they're like, I don't want to leave you. I feel comfortable with you. I want to be with you always mm-hmm. until you leave that house. Mm-hmm. And I know once you move out, there's a good chance that, you know, Gracie's not going to go with you. That can, you know, she could, but there's a good chance that she won't.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's not, I mean, call us back and tell us more about what's going on if you still feel like, no, this is like demonologist yeah. needs to be called kind of stuff, because then that's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, I agree. Gracie the ghost. She used to host the Halloween pumpkin party on a radio station I listened to as a child.
Really?
On KFIZ, which ended up being the competing station across town as I got into it. But when I was a kid, every Halloween they had the safe trick-or-treating thing. You get home by like 7 or 8 or something. And then, yeah, we couldn't trick-or-treat in the dark. We had to do it during, like, Sunday afternoon is when we trick-or-treat.
Because nothing bad can ever happen on a Sunday afternoon.
Nothing. It's safe. So we did that. But then it was a tradition. It was like you'd listen to this radio station, and then they would have, they had the pumpkin lady, who was this older grandmotherly-like figure who hosted it for a while. And then they brought in Gracie the Ghost, who I think like worked at like the bank or something. It was like community figures that, sure, that took on personas. And then they, if you were a kid, you would register your name into this raffle, essentially. And then they pick names out, and then the names would then win a prize that local businesses donated. And the radio station's entire lobby was filled with bikes and toys and everything. And then if they called you, then they call kids on the air live. Hey, this is Gracie. You want a bike? And eventually they do the Disney World call at the end. That was the big grand prize.
Oh, wow.
And that was every Halloween. They still do it to this day. Every once in a while, if I remember and I can pinpoint the Sunday that they're trick-or-treating in my hometown on, because it's not Halloween, I try and tune in over the internet a little bit to hear it, because it's still, they're still doing it.
That is a huge giveaway for a Fond du Lac radio station.
Yeah.
A Disney trip.
Yeah. I mean, every, I think, you, excuse me, it was like sponsored by like, you have your sponsors that go in and bring that stuff in. And then they get, you know, it was, I think a lot of it was traded out. But
I know, but that's still more like national syndicated level kind of. Yeah,
they pulled it off.
Stuff.
They pulled it off every year really good. It was a real fun thing.
That's really cool.
I never worked at that station. They were always my competitor. But that was the one thing I always wished, like, I worked over there for, just to do that show. The rest of it, I knew I was at the better place in town. The staff, everybody was great. But I always wanted to do that. But I couldn't like invent it and do it over on my side of town, on my station. Because it's like, it's a small, it's like 50,000 people. You can't compete on that show.
But to compete, is that where you started having people call in their ghost stories?
No, that wasn't on Halloween. Actually, that was on Halloween, but it was completely different. It was just tier ghost stories. There's no prizes or anything involved.
Sure, but it was still your station's way of acknowledging Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I think most stations, a lot of stations will do that. I think I just took it to an extreme where it would be like, Tony, it's July 2nd, and you're promoting Halloween and doing an all-ghost show in the afternoon at an adult contemporary station where the number one song is a Celine Dion song right now in like 1998.
Yeah.
Ghosts straight up for 3 hours when your target female, when your target demo is females 35, 54. At that time, they looked at that as not a great idea. Turns out that's like the target demo for like Travel Channel on all their ghost shows.
Well, that's mostly who listens to us too.
Exactly.
So
it is our target demo. I was right all along. They did want to hear ghost stories between Celine Dion and Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there you go. Now you get me singing Michael Bolton between the songs. You don't get the actual one. On our next episode, we'll talk about how we met the horse named Michael Bolton, or that looked like Michael Bolton.
That was a great moment.
don't miss that coming up on our next episode. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. Support the program. Keep us on the air. It's only $5 a month. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories and get all the access to all of our bonus material. Bonus episodes, advanced episodes, our book, ebook, it's all there. Check it out. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. For Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.